Prevailing prayer, travailing prayer, travail. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53:10-12. This scripture, Isaiah 53, in this particular passage, defines the offering, the sacrificial offering that Yeshua became, and what his offering on the cross when he was poured out into grief, that he took the place of sin and bore the iniquities, and how he became great and divided the spoil of sinners, that as he was numbered with transgressors and bare the sin, that portion of his sacrificial dying on the cross, he made intercession for the transgressors. This is a passage, and this is a study on prevailing prayer and travailing prayer, what it means to identify with Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings, even to the point of being crucified on the cross, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection, so that in some way we may obtain that not only the power of the Spirit that raised him to the dead from the dead, but the resurrection power that will raise our bodies up in that last day. Now, I want to talk about that anguish of identifying with the Lord in his sufferings, the travail in Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the place where Jesus prayed, and Gethsemane means oil press, and he was pressed out. John 16:6, a little while and you shall not see me again. This is Jesus instructing his disciples. And you shall see me because I go to the Father. And then they said, some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We cannot tell what he's saying. Now, Jesus knew they were desirous to ask him and said to them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. Jesus uses a woman giving childbirth as an analogy of his sufferings that he was about to go through. This is what it's going to be like. If you've given birth, all your joints come apart, your hormones start to shake, your whole body shakes when you're in the final stages, and you feel as though you were going through death's door. And you wish you were having an out-of-body experience, and you just might be. You just might leave your body in order to bring another soul. into this life. But after the child is born, you forget all your sorrow. And he was saying that he was going to die. And intercession is often like that. You travail and labor to bring forth the sons of God. Those who go weeping for souls, it says in Psalms, shall come with wheat in their arms. That's the harvest of souls, the travail. And they shall see the fruit and the joy that this will bring. So look at Isaiah 54:1, which sing, O barren woman, you that did not bear children, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth your curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither shall you be confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. For your Maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. This is speaking of spiritual children, that although you go through afflictions and difficulties, and it talks about storm-lashed city, and I haven't forgotten my covenant of love with you, and I will make a beautiful fountain, a beautiful city of all kinds of stones in that day. And this speaks of the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, the city that is the bride of Christ and her children, those souls that we labor and travail for as we participate in the Lord's sufferings in this life, to labor and travail and to bring forth what the Lord desires, his purposes, to have a seed and to have the Gentiles. Galatians 4:9, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. How did Paul travail in birth? He agonized, he prayed, until Christ be formed in you. He taught, he instructed. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Let's look at some more serious instructions on travailing and crying out, as Jeremiah, the prophet of God, spoke about when he brought forth the council, the covenant council of God's righteousness and his covenant that he made with his people. Here we have in Jeremiah 4:19, my bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus has the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. Because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent. Neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thyself with ornaments of gold, though you rentest your face with painting, in vain shall you make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. For I've heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish of her that brings forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewails herself, that spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. Now here, this is the prophet's travail, his lament because of the sin of the people, and they have not come to the righteousness of the covenant of God that he established that with them, blood for blood, life for life, except for those that are his wife, for all the abortions, for all the murders of innocent blood that's crying out. God hears for those who have not repented, that he might relent from being destruction. But he will not, because they continue in their sin and deck themselves and say, I'm okay. God loves me. He wouldn't do that. And therefore, the prophet cries out and wails and laments, because he sees and he understands that the people of God have brought this destruction upon the land. Jeremiah 6:21. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array, as men for war against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us, and pain, as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with thy sackcloth, and wallow yourself in ashes. Make your mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that you may know and try their way. This is the prophet. God is saying, he set a tower and a fortress, that you may know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Their bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melts in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. They've crossed the line of repentance. There's no place left. They're reprobate. Jeremiah 13:12. Therefore you shall speak unto them this word. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's thrones, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear you and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say to the king and to the queen, humble yourselves. Sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where's the flock that was given you? Your beautiful flock. What will you say when he shall punish you? For you have taught them to be captains and as chief over you. Shall not sorrows take you as a woman in travail? And what happens with a woman in travail? When she goes into labor, she cannot stop the labor until it is accomplished and brought forth the fullness of God's word in the land. That destruction is coming. If you say in your heart, wherefore comes these things upon me? For thy greatness of thine iniquity are their skirts discovered and your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures for me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover your skirts upon your face, and that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your neighings and the lewdness of your whoredom and your abomination on the hills and the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you not be made clean? When shall it once be? This is strong agonizing from the prophet of the Lord, who has continually reproached and rebuked and reproved the people of God, and they have not responded. Lamentations 3:1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he has turned. He has turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin has he made old. He has broken my bones. He has builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He has hedged me about that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayers. He has enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes and has removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This is the agonizing, the travail, the crucifixion, the identifying with the sufferings for the sins of the people of God. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore will I hope in him. And this is the cry that the darkness, the judgments will pass. There will be a time when those seasons will be over, and we can trust in the mercies of God's unfailing love to watch prevailing and travailing, to watch, to prevail in prayer, to travail. 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, these are the people of God that are following the Lord. They're not the backsliders, the compromised, the worldly Christians, the, Christians who heap up teachers that tell them what they want to know. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken with in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. Now, these are the people of God that are following Jesus, that historically, the people who thought they were Christians are the actual ones who persecuted the true believers. Always this has happened.